Rich Olte is a professional gambler. And last year, he got into a conversation with another gambler, and they decided on a wager. The other gambler bet him $100,000 that he could not stay in a room by himself in total darkness for 30 days. As a point of reference on that, in the prison system, you cannot put somebody in solitary confinement for over 15 days, otherwise it is considered cruel and unusual punishment. Yet armed with that knowledge, Rich, on November 21st, 2018, entered into a small bathroom that had been equipped with a mattress and a small refrigerator. They closed the special door that would emit no light into the room. Rich lasted 20 days. After 20 days, he had to come out. He said it was much worse than what he had ever imagined, even though he had trained for it. He tried to get himself ready for it mentally. On several occasions, he saw hallucinations. On a daily basis, he had to fight off a very deep and dark depression. We are not meant to live in isolation. We are social creatures. God created us to be in relationship with one another. We're not meant to live in isolation. And the sad news is this: you don't have to get locked into a room in total darkness to be alone. There's plenty of folks that are surrounded by hundreds of people every day that still feel alone and still feel isolated. The effects of isolation, the effects of loneliness, they are both mental, emotional, and even physical. Those who are alone usually fall into a deep and dark depression. They're unable to handle even the simplest decisions on a day-to-day basis, and certainly nothing stressful. Physiologically, our bodies actually change, they say. Research has determined that those who suffer from loneliness actually cannot fend off disease, that their body actually doesn't fight it as effectively as those who are in relationship with others. In short, we are better together. God has designed and created us to live together and to be together. As God himself lives in relationship, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in an eternal relationship with one another. And then God created us to be in relationship with him, but also to be in relationship with one another. We are better together. That's why this morning we're going to start a series of messages and look at five different instances where God's Word tells us that we're better facing this together. We begin with struggles. We're better together when facing struggles, facing those valleys in life, those rough spots, those trials in our life, whatever they might be. Maybe they're relationship-wise. Maybe they're with a spouse or with a child or with a sibling or with a close friend. Or maybe they're financial. It's a job loss or things are going south in retirement. Or maybe it's just emotional and there's a deep and darkness that's sort of weighing down on you. Whatever that might be, we're better to face that together. Unfortunately, from my observation is, most people don't. Most people, when faced with those kind of things in their life, think they're just going to go it alone. That somehow that they've just got to figure it out. And as long as they can just muscle their way through it, then they'll be fine. It rarely works out that way. It's not how God created us. He created us to be in relationship with one another, help and support one another. So there's two things for us to learn this morning. One is we need to learn how to ask for help. And the second one is we need to learn how to give that help to someone else. To ask for help, now that sounds rather simple. Who needs to learn to ask for help? I think probably all of us need to learn to ask for help. Even though we understand that asking for help is actually the smart thing to do, even though that asking for help is actually a sign of strength, yet most of us think it's a sign of weakness, and we just simply won't do it. In preparation for the message this week, I read several articles about isolation, about facing trials and troubles. There was an excellent article written by this gal. She was a psychologist, and she made a very good case of why, when we're going through a rough patch, the absolute best thing that we can do is reach out to someone else, to reach out and to get help. And yet, the comments at the end of that article, well, here's a sampling of them, and this is pretty typical of all of them. So some gal named Julia wrote, "I worry too much about whether someone is going to think I'm weak because I asked for help. So we worry that somebody else might think less of us if we reached out to them." Or there's a guy named Joey, he says this. He says, "Most of us, especially guys, have been taught that asking for help is a sign of weakness. I know that's the prevailing thought in my family, so I just refuse to do it." So now all of a sudden, it's become unmanly to ask for help. So I can't reach out to somebody else because somehow that's threatening my manhood there. All right, one more. Ashford wrote this. "I want my family to know that I'm strong. When I have to ask for help, it makes me feel weak." Now, he went on to say he doesn't know if his family thinks he's weak when he asks for help, but just on the off chance that they might, he's not going to ask for help. Is any of this resonating with you at all? I think this is a serious issue for us. We don't ask for help. Somehow we believe all of these things. Asking for help is the smart thing to do. Asking for help is actually a sign of strength for us. Somehow we've got to get past this and understand that God created us to be in relationship with one another, that we're here to help and support and encourage one another. Case in point is Jesus. Jesus did not face life alone. He had his close group of 12. They did life together for 3 years. Then he had his best friends, Peter, James, and John. How many times throughout the Gospels do we read that Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John? And usually it was at critical moments in his life. They were there for their support of him. None more critical than when he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. He knows that he's going to be arrested. He knows that he's going to be crucified. He knows that not just the physical pain, but the guilt and the punishment of all mankind's sin will be laid upon him on that cross. So we pick it up in Mark chapter 14. It says, "And he took with him Peter, James, and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, 'My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch.'" Look how vulnerable Jesus is with his disciples, his close friends. He reveals to them, he says, "My soul is very sorrowful. It feels like I'm dying inside, guys." And then he asks for help. He says, "Stay here with me and pray with me." Friends, if the Son of God can ask for help, so can you. If the Son of God can ask for help, I can ask for help. It is a sign of strength. It's a sign of being smart, right? Because we're in this together. The other thing is, don't give the enemy an opportunity. When we isolate, especially in those troubled times, those rough patches in life, if we isolate ourselves, we are so much more susceptible to temptation, right? If all that's going on is in our own mind and our own thinking, pretty soon, the sinful solution becomes the only solution. We can rationalize it away. We can make sure that, oh, but there's no other way. You can know it's wrong, but the sinful solution will become the only solution if you try and face it alone. We're better together. We're better together when we face these things, when we reach out to a family member, when we reach out to a good friend, just to know that you're not alone. Just to have an empathetic ear to be there with you. We're better together. Maybe we need expert help. Isn't that the smart thing to do? If you got financial issues, shouldn't you go and see a financial expert who can help and guide you? If you got things going on inside of you and there's this heaviness and this emotional turmoil, doesn't it make sense to go to an expert, to an objective observer, to someone who can help guide and lead you out of that? God has put these people in our lives, and he's given us this knowledge and this help. The smart thing to do, a true sign of strength, is to ask for help. We're better together. One of the most important things I think that we need to learn, and I include myself in that, is to ask for help, to reach out to someone else. And the second thing is to be able to give help. That when we're not going through the rough times, when we're not going through the valleys of life, to be able to give help. But again, my observation is that the temptation is that when we see somebody struggling, that we avoid them. Somebody's going through a messy divorce. Somebody just lost their job. A spouse has died. Maybe their son or daughter got arrested. Something else going on. The job disappeared. And all of a sudden, we stop calling them. We don't invite them out to dinner. Maybe if we see them at church, we duck down the other hallway. Well, we have all kinds of reasons why we do that. Because after all, I don't know what to say. Or better yet, I don't want to say the wrong thing. You know what I mean? Make things worse if I do that. I don't need to add stress to their life. I don't know what to do for them, and I can't offer them anything. So what good is it going to do for me to reach out to them? And by the way, we're all convinced that someone else certainly is helping them. Maybe that someone else is you. Maybe it's you. As we reach out a hand and walk alongside of them. St. Paul put it this way. He's writing to the church at Rome. He says, "We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves." Now, context here. The context is the church at Rome has both Jewish believers and it has non-Jewish believers. So obviously two very, very different backgrounds and two very, very different dietary backgrounds, which is the issue at hand here, right? So you have the Jewish believers, and although it's been revealed to them that they can have pork their whole life, they haven't eaten pork. And so then you've got the non-Jewish believers like, "Hey, come on over, we're having ham tonight," right? It causes an issue. Right? You have meat that's been offered up and sacrificed to false gods. Well, is that okay to eat? Or is that, no, that's not okay to eat? It's not really a theological issue that they have or theological problem. It's an inner struggle. It's an inner struggle. It's almost a spiritual battle for them. So what is Paul's advice? Does he say, just get over it? Or here's the letter of the law. You can eat anything you want. He says, bear with one another. To bear with means to actually to lift up. So in other words, carry each other's burdens. No one has to face it alone. If somebody's struggling over here with this issue, then come over and lift that burden and struggle along with them to offer them to help. We carry each other's burdens. And that should be especially true in the body of Christ. We have this unique bond with one another. Our common belief in Jesus as our Savior. It makes us His family. So we should certainly come together and bear with one another, right? To offer help to one another. Maybe we need to understand what giving help is and what help is not, right? So first of all, you don't have to have all the answers. Oftentimes we think, well, I don't know what to say to them. You don't have to have all the answers. Usually when somebody's going through something traumatic, they got all kinds of questions, and usually they center around God. Why is God doing this? Why hasn't God answered my prayer? Why isn't God doing something over here? Why is that person doing so well? You know what? They really don't want an answer. When people are going through times like that, when I'm going through times like that and I ask those questions, I'm not really looking for an answer. I just want somebody to walk alongside of me, somebody that I can vent to, that they can sense and understand my frustration so I can just get it out and then get over it. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to say anything. That's another big thing. Well, I don't know what to say, or I might say the wrong thing, right? I seriously doubt that you'd say the wrong thing, but let me say this. Most times, you don't need to say anything. What people need the most is your ear. They just want to know somebody's listening to them, that somebody cares, that someone will spend time with them. Now, I'll say this. If you've gone through a similar situation that they've gone through, tell them just enough so that they get the idea that you have a special understanding, you have insight. They don't need to hear your whole story because they're living the story, right? And it's not the same. But just enough to say, oh, you do get it, because that's what people need most. They just need an ear. Right? You don't need to fix it. Men, we're bad at this. We like to fix things. Bring your problem to me. I'll fix it for you. And if I can't fix it, oh my God, now what do I do? Right? Parents, don't we do that? For our children, they have issues, they have problems. We want to fix it for them. Grandkids, we want to fix it. We want to make it all better. You know what? They don't need you to fix it. They don't need me to fix it. You don't need to fix it. You just need to be there for support. Yes, maybe you're the voice of reason from time to time. Maybe you're the nudge that they need to get expert advice in some area. But it's not up to you to take on their problems or fix their problems, just to bear it along with them, that they are not alone. Do be sincere. Make sure that they know that you care, that you genuinely love for them and are concerned for them. Do pray with them and pray for them. And follow through on that. If you say you're going to pray for someone, then write it down so you don't forget. Make sure that you're praying for them. That's the most important thing that we can do, is to be there for one another, to bear with one another, to carry the burdens together, to pray with one another, to pray for one another. Why? Because we're better together. That's how God created us. Relationship with Him and relationship with one another. In times of struggle, we really need to learn. It's a sign of strength to reach out and to ask for help. And also we need, when we're not going through a tough patch, that it's okay to reach out to someone else and offer that help and to be that empathetic ear. And we will be better together. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, we know that we are never alone, that you are always with us. Jesus, you promised to be there to the very end of the age. But we also know that you created us as your body of Christ here on earth, and that we support one another. Give us the courage to reach out when we're struggling for help, and then give us also the wisdom to reach out and to offer that help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.